following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
Starting with Josh Lucas, Champ Kelly, our pro scouts, they've done a great job of kind of, you know, our free agent board is stacked, and, you know, there's options in free agency, there's options in the draft, and, you know, we got to see how it plays out. You know, we'll know a lot more, you know, in the coming weeks. Jay's under contract, so, you know, it's fluid. I would describe it as fluid. There's a lot of conversations going on between us and Bus Cook. I think one of the things with Jay is, one of the things I value is his agent, Bus Cook, and we, you know, we're close. And I think in times like these, that relationship's important because we can be honest and transparent.
Alongside Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. It's a special edition of Bears All Access live from Indianapolis, and Tom Thayer is along as well. We heard from Ryan Pace. We heard from John Fox today, and I think it's very difficult to be in the position of those two guys a week before the start of free agency, because there's a lot that they want to say, but the problem is that they can't really say it publicly at this stage because there's a lot of negotiations taking place behind closed doors with a lot of different people.
Yeah, no, I agree. Obviously, with the start of free agency next week, there's a lot of working parts in motion right now, and concerning Jay Cutler. And, you know, we were talking off the air earlier. I think they've made it pretty clear. I mean, when a player is announced that he's available via trade, that's kind of the beginning of the end. Now, how does it come to the end? Is it consummated with a trade with another team? Is it with Jay Cutler ultimately being released? And I think all those options are in play right now.
Tom, what stood out to you in regards to what you heard today from both Ryan Pace and John Fox?
You know, with Ryan Pace specifically, if you remember, he used the word fluid maybe six or seven different times, either talking about Alshon Jeffrey, the Jay Cutler scenario, the decisions you're trying to make after the combine in regards to the draft. So I do think there are a lot of question marks in the head of Ryan Pace about not only the direction of the team, the direction of the free agency, what is ultimately going to happen to resolve the Jay Cutler situation, and what's going to come of the Alshon Jeffrey scenario. So when I heard him use the word fluid six or seven times throughout his press conference, I do believe fluid is another word, probably another way just to put a question mark in there. And I do think the thinking process for John Fox and his staff and Ryan Pace and his staff, I do think there's a lot of different decisions that will present themselves up until the end of free agency and through the draft that he's going to have to take serious considerations with.
I think what we learned, if you kind of read between the lines here in regards to what they were saying about both Cutler and Jeffrey, in regards to Cutler, you want to be able to acquire something for Cutler. If you've made the decision that it's time to part ways, and I think people understand why for a variety of different reasons, maybe it's best for both sides to
right.
go in separate directions. But does Jay Cutler still have value to some of the other clubs in the NFL? And if he does, then you want to maximize that and be able to get something in return, which is why they call the situation fluid. I don't believe Cutler will be back with the Bears next season, but you have to say that that's one of the options on the table, and that's why Pace said everything is on the table in regards to Jay Cutler. Then when you look at Alshon Jeffrey, for the franchise tag number, with as many needs as the Bears have this offseason, it just doesn't make sense to go out and give Jeffrey the number that you would get via the franchise tag, let him hit the open market. It didn't sound to me like the Bears were willing to say goodbye to Alshon Jeffrey.
Right.
I just think they want to see what the market is for the guy. And if he wants to return to the Bears, I think it sounded as though there's going to be an offer on the table. But as Ryan Pace said, because someone asked him today whether if you're a wide receiver, knowing who the quarterback is going to be, if that's a big deal. And Pace kind of smiled and said he anticipates getting that question from any free agent receiver. But then he laughed and said, ultimately, it's about the contract when it comes to these professionals.
Yeah, well, I think for Alshon, I mean, and it might be the right move. other teams have to be just as concerned as the Bears are at the number, you know, he probably wants to come in at, whether it's, you know, $12, $13, $14 million dollars a year. He may want more than that. What did Antonio Brown just get? $17.1 million. So you'd like to think it's below that, but is he asking in the $14 million a year range? And if I'm another team out there, I got to be, well, here's a player who's been suspended. Here's a player who isn't lined up every year, all 16 games. So what's the number that they're going to offer him? And then the Bears have the ability to match it. So the market can basically be set for them, and they're just letting really other clubs do the negotiating. And I think the same can be said for Jay Cutler. I mean, like you said, at least for them, they don't have to wait for free agency. Jay can be dealt right now, and that might be fluid because they, for all we know, they could be talking to San Francisco right now and Kyle Shanahan. We know what happened last year. Remember when the Rams came here in Tennessee? And they ultimately struck up the conversation during the workouts about trading the number one pick, right? And then he traded down, and that happened here, and that's what started. And then 6 weeks later, lo and behold, that trade on draft day, consummated and fell through.
You know, Tom, what's the best way to Jeffrey, speaking of him, I think that if he would present a really positive face in front of the Bears, either in regards to negotiation or even the franchise tag, and show what a willing soldier he is to be here throughout the offseason, be a leader in the clubhouse, showing up in the weight room and giving the best of effort so they see that the reflection of your effort in the weight room is that you're going to be on the field for every game. I do still think that he could be considered in the plans, but it's about Alshon Jeffrey presenting himself as a leader in the weight room and in the locker room and in the classroom like they needed to be. And, you know, and when you're talking about Jay Cutler, you know, really, what is his value? If his value was easy to say, okay, he's worth $12 million, there would be teams out there looking for him. But it's almost like the teams are saying, okay, if the Bears ultimately are going to release Jay Cutler, then let him get out there in the market, and then the negotiations will start for him.
So who's going to be the quarterback in 2017?
Good question. I think I've thrown out guys. Is Mike Glennon in the mix? Is, you know, does Tyrod Taylor or somebody like that become available? I know some people have floated out Tony Romo. I think that's, he's got the injury history. I do think there'll be another veteran added, whether that's a guy like Brian Hoyer coming back. I thought he performed well when he had an opportunity, and there may be a couple options that are available. I wouldn't be leaning towards the Colin Kaepernick direction because he was made available for San Francisco, but I think it's limited right now. But I do think this. I believe the Bears draft a quarterback here in the 2017 NFL draft.
Hey, Jim, did you see enough out of Connor Shaw? Because, you know, he probably had the highest pulse rate of any of the quarterbacks last year throughout training camp. And I do even think that they thought a little bit more of him at the end of training camp before he got injured, even higher than the performance of Brian Hoyer. So the practices you saw, the preseason games, the limited opportunities he have, did you see enough out of him, or do you know enough about him to even put him in consideration to come in here and be a competitor?
No, I don't throw him out. So whether they re-sign one of those two, whether it's Connor Shaw or Brian Hoyer, but I do believe another veteran has to be added, and then you draft another quarterback. So I can't rule that out because you're right. I think it was a competitive situation towards the end of training camp prior to Connor Shaw, you know, breaking his ankle in the preseason game, because I think it was, you know, a toss-up who was going to be the backup behind Jay Cutler. Was it going to be Hoyer or was it going to be Connor Shaw?
You said the Bears are definitely going to draft a quarterback. They have to at this stage of the game because Ryan Pace didn't do it over his first two drafts as Bears general manager. But do you take one at three? Because you talk to all these evaluators, and they'll tell you that none of these quarterbacks probably deserves to go in the top 10, but you know that some will.
Yeah, they could work themselves up there. I don't, you know, I can't disagree with that. But do I think any of them are worthy? No, I don't, because they're all what? Projects. You know, are there those guys in the middle rounds or, say, second round that intrigue me? Patrick Mahomes out of Texas Tech is a guy I think more and more teams are starting to like. He's got a very live arm. Granted, he's got some footwork issues that need to be corrected and can be corrected because he's a good athlete. But, man, he's pretty special at throwing a football.
We learned a lot of things in regards to the philosophy that Ryan Pace has heading into free agency and comparing that to what's available in the draft. We'll discuss next with Jim Miller and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabeman. It's Bears All Access live from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
There is a delicate balance. You know, there's a balance between being aggressive and being decisive, but being responsible, you know. And I think sometimes, you know, you can always recover from the player you didn't sign. You can't recover from the player you signed at the wrong price. And I think we got to be conscious of that.
That is Bears General Manager Ryan Pace and his philosophy on free agency, which begins next week. Alongside Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zabeman. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is along. It's Bears All Access live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Receive the latest updates and messages from your Chicago Bears all year long by signing up at chicagobears.com/emails. You know, we didn't talk about this in the first segment, but I think we need to, guys, because the report came out today, and we've spent the entire offseason talking about the possibility that Jimmy Garoppolo could be available, and then the report comes out today that that's not going to be the case, that New England is going to keep him. A, do you believe it? And B, do you think the Bears were seriously considering making a deal for Garoppolo?
I think they should be interested, and I think that's all a bunch of nonsense coming from New England to drive up the price. You know, it's easy. I mean, why would they keep Jimmy Garoppolo on the roster and they lose him for no compensation at the end of next year? What, so Jimmy Garoppolo is just say, oh, yeah, I'll just re-sign here to be Tom Brady's backup? No, he's going to go out on the open market to try and get the amount of money a year from now to see what he can do. And I think for the Patriots, it's just try to drive up the compensation. They already drafted Jacoby Brissett. So I think, you know, it all makes sense. But I think that's just New England behind the scenes trying to drive up the price.
Yeah, you know, I agree with everything Jim says. I do think that the Bears were interested in Jimmy Garoppolo. I do think New England's doing it to try to drive up the price for Garoppolo. Maybe they had an dangled in front of them, like from a team like Cleveland that has multiple draft choices. Maybe they're feel a team is interested enough just trying to get something out of them. You know, and last year the Bears were really fortunate to have a four-day viewing of a tryout of Jimmy Garoppolo when they were up there for training camp. And I do think that is a unique experience because when you're designing your plays against your opponent in training camp, you know what your script is. So you know what the quarterback is required to do against the defensive plays and on 7-on-7 or defensive teamwork that you have scripted against them. So you get a chance to get a better evaluation of the decision-making process of a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo. So I do think the Bears were fortunate to have that chance, and I do think they're with serious consideration by every team in the NFL that needs an immediate starting quarterback.
And last thing, let's add to the mix, because Cleveland has done business with the Patriots, right? Jamie Collins trade. The Bears have done business with New England, obviously the Martellus Bennett trade, but Pace in that quote right there, it has to be the right price. So, you know, if Jimmy Garoppolo wants, let's say the Bears give up all this compensation, he comes here and because it's going to come with a new contract. Is it going to be at the price that the Bears are willing to spend? Because otherwise, if Jimmy Garoppolo were to flop, you're in the same boat you've been in.
Really interested in finding out what you guys think about what you heard from Ryan Pace and John Fox today. 312-644-6767 here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. The reason I bring it up is because now that we've had a couple of years to see the way Vic Fangio wants to see things defensively and the philosophy that he's used with the players that he's had, and now that we've had a year to watch Dow Loggins as the offensive coordinator, Tom, what kind of a quarterback fits the offense that Dow Loggins installed last season?
You know, I think Dow Loggins, he does like to throw the ball. But now that you know what you have in terms of the running game, you need a quarterback that can come in here and be a manager of your offense. And that makes you making sure that you distribute the football to all the downfield weapons you have. But you still have to keep Jordan Howard as the main activated point of this offense, whether it's catching the ball out of the backfield or having the great consistency with your running game. I do think Dow Loggins understands what he has a little bit more now, offensively speaking, than he did a year ago. because it was about his relationship and developing the quarterback position, trying to learn what you could get out of the running game. But then when you have the emergence of Jordan Howard, you kind of have that starting point. You know a little bit more about Cameron Meredith. You hope a guy like Daniel Brown can come in and have a quality offseason to assist Zach Miller. You know what the interior of your offensive line can be. So I think there's less question marks coming in at the beginning of OTAs for Dow Loggins that there was last year, except for the biggest question mark of all, and that's the quarterback position.
312-644-6767. It should be noted that Pace was asked, is the infrastructure in place for a young quarterback to succeed with the Bears organization? And he immediately shot back that the Bears offensive line creates the infrastructure necessary for success, and pointed out that when you have a healthy interior of the Bears line, it's as good as any in the league. And I think he's talking specifically about Kyle Long, Josh Sitton, Cody Whitehair, and who knows if Aronis Grassou can get back and become that guy as well. 312-644-6767.
You know, real quickly, why did Dak Prescott succeed last year after Tony Romo's injury? It's because of Ezekiel Elliott that they drafted, and they had the quality offensive line, and they do have good receivers. So I do think, you know, the similarities are there of, you know, the positive portions of the Bears offense.
Let's go out to the phones at 312-644-6767. Jose in Deerfield, you're on Bears All Access.
Good evening, gentlemen. Always a pleasure to talk to the pros in the know. Just wanted to ask, since you guys are at the Combine scouting this event, and it's a far different time to when you guys were in the league to what it is now, when you reflect back on what that experience was like, what did you take the most out of it? And but more importantly, if you were in the position of a coach or a scout and you were evaluating players today, what is it that you need to be sold in order to go back to your GM or boss to say, this is going to be our guy to help complement our team or take our team to the next level?
Well, you know, for me, it's all about the player's attitude. I want to see guys that are excited for the opportunity to perform in front of the different scouts there. When I came out of college, we had three separate combines. We had to go to one in Tampa, one in Detroit, and one in Seattle. So it wasn't only one weekend of trying to prove yourself, because we didn't have pro days. So we went to these scattered combines, and I just think that the enthusiasm that an athlete portrays when he's there meeting with the teams, whether he's going through the bench press or the 40 or the shuttle runs or all the jumping exercises they do, I think if you find a player there that has great enthusiasm for the opportunity to be a part of the franchise or the combine, that tells me a little bit about their desire to be a professional athlete.
Yeah, I think Tom nailed it right there. They want to see how much you love football. And then for me, my experience, for me it was medical, because I'd already separated my left shoulder and already had a foot surgery, so that had to be answered. But I just know personally, I was mad that guys like Trent Dilfer and Heath Shuler didn't throw, because I wanted to be in their group, you know what I'm saying? So it ended up being guys like me, Gus Frerotte, Jay Walker, and I just know when I got done with throwing, I said, I got this. I know I'm as good, if not better, than any one of these guys. So I walked away with a lot of confidence, much like the Senior Bowl that I played in. But it was more about the medical for me and obviously the interviews.
Could you imagine, and it's completely changed this year because they're allowing fans in. Tom, could you imagine doing a bench press for your job in front of hundreds of fans watching your every move in person?
Tom will get the adrenaline going. I think you may throw it up another five times, Tom,
right?
Just to show off.
It would be so exciting, because I remember being in Detroit and doing the bench press, and Clyde Emmerich, the Bears strength coach, gave me the liftoff. And so, I mean, still, it's ingrained in my head, and I was not only excited to be able to lift in front of a guy like Clyde, but all the other players that were watching. And, you know, Jim, if you go in there, like you were saying, you wanted to throw in front of the best of the quarterbacks, because you wanted to prove to those quarterbacks and the scouts that your arm was equally as strong as any of the other guys throwing there. And I felt that about every one of the drills I went through. And, I came out in when Dave Remington was there, when Bruce Matthews was there, when Don Mosbar, a bunch of other great, Jimbo Covert, a bunch bunch of other great football players, and that was the one opportunity you had a chance to stand there in that shorts and T-shirt. I know they call it the Underwear Olympics, but there is an opportunity to stand there and show the effort that you've been putting in to be ready for that point.
We've got to take a timeout. When we come back, Ryan Pace was asked if wins and losses mean something in regards to a college quarterback. And his answer was very telling. I'll tell you next. Share it with you right here on Bears All Access with Jim Miller and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman, live from Indianapolis on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You want to see a guy that's elevated his program. And, again, you just reference places you've been, you know. And I know I talk about this player a lot because he had a big impact on me. But I think about Breeze when he was at Purdue, and he elevated that program. I mean, he took him to the Rose Bowl. So that's, I think that means something, you know, and I think that's something that we pay attention to.
That is Ryan Pace talking about what he's looking for in terms of a college quarterback. And for him, wins and losses at the college level, a big deal. And I think that's important because there's a certain guy who many believe is the top quarterback in this draft, in Deshaun Watson, who changed the program at Clemson. Zach Zaidman, Jim Miller, and Tom Thayer with you here. A special from Indianapolis NFL Scouting Combine Bears All Access Edition. And it does matter. I do think it is important to take a look at a quarterback who takes over a program that's kind of down in the dumps and elevates it to another level.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree, and he's good with an analogy there, because Joe Tiller, who's an excellent coach, and it was then Drew Brees, and Bears fans are familiar with Kyle Orton. They were going to bowl games repeatedly. I was just telling Zach off the air, I can't believe they forced Joe Tiller out the door because they were doing so well at Purdue, and I do think it matters. And you bring up a good point about Deshaun Watson. I think Clemson has always had a good program. Think of Taj Boyd and the success they had there. They had DeAndre Hopkins, guys like Martavius Bryant. They've had some good talent.
Yeah, but this was, he took the program to the next level where they started competing for national championships and then eventually ended up winning.
Yeah, don't disagree with that. And I think he does have, you know, the quote-unquote it factor that teams are looking for, and they feel that it's something that they can mold. I definitely think Deshaun Watson has that going in his favor.
You know, one thing about it, too, is you got to know how to play four quarters. You can see a team or a player that goes out there, and when he's fresh in the first quarter or the defense doesn't have an identification of what they're trying to do against them, maybe that's when you can see a quarterback is hot. But when the defense has a chance to go out there and evaluate 40, 50 plays up in the coach's box and now starts getting different information, how does the quarterback stand up against that challenge? So I want to see winners. I want to see guys that take it into late and third and fourth quarter into a two-minute drill and are able to keep that same consistency, keep that level-headedness about him, making sure the other guys that he's controlling in the huddle, that he has their attention and their respect. And I do believe that you can learn a lot about a quarterback in the way he succeeds in the final 2 minutes of the first half and even the fourth quarter of every game.
And why Ernie Accorsi drafted Eli Manning first round, because go look at his fourth quarter play at Ole Miss. Oh, by the way, it showed up in two Super Bowls with victories, too.
Hey, look at Jameis Winston. Look at Marcus Mariota. I mean, these are guys that were thought highly of because of their ability to win big games and big moments. And then, you know, you take a look at Jared Goff, who was the number one overall pick, and he endured, not his fault, but he endured a lot of losing early on in his Cal career. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique stories and interviews exclusively for Bears fans. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Pete in Skokie, you're on Bears All Access. Good evening, my friend.
Hi, guys. Sorry, I'm walking the dogs. My question is, if you've got a decent interior line, you're going to build through the tackles and the defense. Why would you get rid of Cutler from the – and I've never been a Cutler supporter. Why would you get rid of Cutler if you're looking for game management when you've got a receive-capable arm and you're going to have a guy going into the second season with the same OC? And if that's a weakness, then why would you go free agent on that?
I think the answer is easy for me. It's the turnovers, the amount of turnovers.
If you address the offensive line from the tackle perspective and you dial down what your expectations were of him, which obviously losing Alshon you're going to have to do, why would you not want a guy with that kind of NFL experience for the price you're paying him with all the money you already gave him to not be the guy that just is a holdover for a year or two, end of contract, draft your future quarterback, and let him just play it out for all the money that he's already earned? That's my question.
Yeah, this is the exact conversation, and Zach and I just had that. You knew when John Fox arrived, they tried to trade up to get Marcus Mariota.
Right.
So they had already diagnosed that, it would be my opinion about Jay Cutler. The turnovers, the inconsistent play were a factor. I think leadership was a factor as well. And I think Jay Cutler is no doubt he's got the talent, but can you corral all that? You know, you've had five different offensive coordinators to come to that determination.
Right. I'm not a high school football coach anymore, but I will say the leadership aspect, and obviously you can speak to it more than I can, means a lot more than the ability to come down and win a game. It's how you make a team around you better, especially in a situation
And what Pace mentioned in that cut, elevating everybody else's play.
Yeah, Pete, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. I think that's something that you cannot ignore, the fact that the Bears have 9 wins during this
season. Right, but, you know, there's hundreds of plays that went into this evaluation. This is a decision-making process. Every scripted play you have in practice, every play that you call in the game that you go back and you watch the tape and you make sure that the exact correct decision was made. And when Jim referenced turnovers or you look at some of the indecision that's made at that position, that's part of the evaluation. It's, you know, in terms of athleticism, a strong-arm quarterback, yes. But it's the real quarterback intelligent decisions that are part of the evaluation process.
And I think when it comes to looking ahead, you have to have a quarterback that's durable too. And that's been an issue for Cutler over the last couple of seasons. And I think that's something that Pace and Fox always talk about. You know, Fox mentioned it today that, you know, it's not ideal to use 4 different quarterbacks during an NFL season. And that's unfortunately what the Bears had to go through this past year. And that does affect your ability to win games. Jim, you've been through this as a quarterback. When you're entering the league, and you often hear people say, and Pace talked about it, the infrastructure in place that a young quarterback needs in order to have success. What does that mean? What was your infrastructure?
Yeah, I mean, it's somewhat different now because patience is not always there. Like when I first came into the – I mean, when I was drafted by the Steelers, it's not like I didn't know Neil Donald was going to be the starting quarterback, and he was playing at a high level at that time. Mike Tomczak was the backup. I was having a great camp. I thought I was going to beat out Mike until I broke my thumb. But I was with an experienced offensive coordinator. It's not like Bill Cowher was going to get fired. They could be patient with me. Hey, let's bring this player along slowly. And then that succession plan was in place. Ultimately, Neil signed the big contract with the New York Jets. They drafted Cordell Stewart, and they let me and Cordell compete, you know, battle it out. So that was, you know, we had 2 years to develop. We look at Cordell and I, but think of Neil O'Donnell at that time. He took us to the AFC Championship game, then he took us to the Super Bowl, then he signs with the Jets, so it's year 3. And that's normally how it used to be. Hey, by year 3, we should have this guy ready to be a starter.
And you hear that, and it was different for you too, because you ran a pro-style offense at Michigan State. So can you even fathom what it's like for a lot of these guys that are going to get picked high here in this year's draft?
Yeah, that's why I think when you look at guys like Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz, these guys are the anomalies now. A lot of these coaches, granted, they're curtailing some things to their college systems that they ran, but they both performed at a very high level in pro-style offenses. Other guys, it has not been that way. You know, because, you know, here we're talking about guys like Patrick Mahomes or even DeShone Kizer or Watson and Trubisky. These guys are not ready to play right away. I mean, even Jared Goff getting drafted number 1 by Cal. Think of how long. I mean, Jeff Fisher was getting beat up for not having this guy in the lineup, but he wasn't ready. And Jeff Fisher in his past, by drafting Steve McNair from Elkhorn State, he knew he wasn't ready and basically sat him his whole rookie year as a first-round draft pick quarterback.
All right, so this is part of the problem, Tom, that you have, because you just heard Jim point out Jared Goff wasn't ready. I think everyone knew he wasn't ready, and yet the coach was forced to play the player. The coach ends up getting fired because the quarterback isn't ready. You know, when you look at the Bears, you have a veteran coach who wants to win right now. The Bears are coming off a number of subpar seasons here as they try to ascend. It's going to be hard. You put a lot of pressure on your coaching staff if you pick a young quarterback high and the bridge quarterback that you have in there isn't doing the job.
Yeah, you do if you didn't have Jordan Howard in a quality running game. To me, that is really going to be the road to success for the transition of the quarterback position and even the Bears getting more wins, is you have to feel confident that Jordan Howard and the rest of the running backs can come in here and be the reason your offense is successful. I'm not looking for them to draft a quarterback and being the reason this offense is going to succeed is because of the play of a young quarterback. I think it's either using an experienced veteran quarterback to make sure that you and using a quality running game. And again, I think that is, you know, one of the the benefactors of last year is making sure that you are able to capitalize on Jordan Howard in his Pro Bowl performance. And if you have a game plan that, you know, is 25 carries a game to Jordan, you know, dedicated to Jordan Howard, and then you got other running backs having scattered carries throughout the day, then you can change what your offense is. You can use the play action, and you try to limit the mistake downfield throws by a young quarterback, and, you know, hopefully your offense will benefit because hopefully your defense is going to be healthier and better than it was a year ago.
There's some Kyle Long injury news we'll discuss next. Plus, Kyle has gone to social media to ask the Bears to bring in a Super Bowl champion. We'll explain next on Bears All Access with Miller, Thayer, and Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
As we went forward with that, it was really getting more opinions on the shoulder. And so, I mean, guys, at this point, you get 3-4 different opinions on the shoulder, and it was determined that the best course of action wasn't a surgery. And really, for us, that's good. You know, we're trying to avoid surgeries if we can. So he's not going to have a shoulder surgery, and he can just focus on his ankle rehab.
Bears general manager Ryan Pace with the latest on Bears right guard Kyle Long. Zach Zaidman alongside Jim Miller with 85 Bear Tom Thayer. We are broadcasting live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content direct to your device. Now, Tom, you played the position Kyle Long plays. You just heard Ryan Pace talk about the fact that he's not going to have shoulder surgery, even though the shoulder was a major issue for him before he injured his leg late in the year against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What do you make of what you heard?
Oh, I think it's good news. Anytime that you don't have to have surgery, I do think now with the way they have the understanding of the muscle structure that they can go in there and do complete rehab just by exercises, rehab, and different weight functions alone, I think it's great news for Kyle because, like Ryan said, he can concentrate on the rehab of the ankle, have more time to dedicate to that injury, and make sure that when he's ready to be on his feet and give 100%, that is ankle is 100%. So I think it's great news. I think Kyle can get all the strength in the world he needs. He's an unusually strong person anyways. His structure is so big and solid that when I did hear Ryan Pace talk about that today, I was really happy for Kyle that he wasn't trying to, you know, rehab two surgeries at the same time where he's just going through the initial stages of the offseason, making sure that his shoulder is structurally sound enough. And then when the heavyweight program starts, and then that's when he can start building that part of his body.
Kyle Long talked about this right at the end of the year at his press conference when the Bears were cleaning out their lockers at Hallis Hall about how he'd lost a lot of weight. His father, Howie, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, told the Chicago Tribune that Kyle Long lost 40 pounds when he underwent the ankle surgery. When you hear that, Tom, is it easy to gain back that kind of weight, or is it a good thing that he dropped that weight?
Yeah, you know, it's the same thing that I went through when I had my back surgery. Before I had my back surgery, I went and I lost about 35 pounds to lessen the impact on the surgery. And then as I started to get stronger, started getting more into rehab, and then the weight and the muscle and the structure came back gradually. I think it was really smart of Kyle to do that, to be able to, you know, like I said, lessen that impact on his ankle. And then as he starts gaining the muscle structure back, you know, the muscles are going to lead to a weight gain, and one thing will build upon the next.
Now, Jim, you're going to love this because Kyle Long is very active on social media. He's always on Twitter. He's got a lot of time to tweet when he's rehabbing, right? So today, he wanted to make a point that his brother is available. And for those that don't know, his brother is Chris Long, very talented defensive end who just won a championship with the New England Patriots. And Chris announcing today that he's not going to be back in New England, that they're parting ways. And Kyle went to Twitter today and tweeted the following, quote, "If Chicago likes me, they will love my brother. I haven't talked to him or the Bears because that's not my place. Would be a lot of fun, though."
Yeah, well, first off, I do like Chris Long. He's a high-character guy, and I think that he proved his worth there in New England. I'm sure they would like him back, but it's going to be at their price. And I would think maybe Kyle wouldn't want to hear this, but it's going to be at the Bears' price, too, because if it's not conducive for the both parties,
well, Kyle,
that potentially wouldn't happen.
Remember, Chris took less money to go sign with New England. He had other options, but he wanted to win a championship. It worked out. But when you think of Chris Long, Tom, you think, at least at the NFL level, of a prototypical 4-3 defensive end. And Kyle went out of his way to point out on Twitter today that, hey, he played at Virginia for Al Groh, and he was a 3-4 outside linebacker in that scheme.
Well, you know, he's a high motor guy, and that's the thing about Chris Long, is he can play fast out of a stance and he can play out of a 2-point stance. Again, referring back to being able to watch him go through 1-on-1, 9-on-7 drill, teamwork back last year in New England, you kind of saw him going through a training camp with the first time switching to a new team. So I do think that you have a lot of memory recall of what Chris did in practices against the offensive tackles and the tight ends against the Bears when they were practicing against New England. So, you know, Chris is a really well-respected football player in the NFL, but, you know, I don't think you can make a brother decision here in terms of Kyle and Chris. You have to kind of evaluate a free agent that is going to help your football team get to that next level. And when you listen to the statements by Ryan Pace talking about free agent considerations at an NFL level, is what he said, you want to make the right decision at the right time and not the wrong decision at the wrong time in terms of a player's value. So, again, like Jim said, nothing against Kyle. It would just be a really honest evaluation of ability, fit for the team, and then the dollars you would want to dedicate to that position.
Now, do I think it would be funny that if Kyle screws up, Chris gives him noogies or something during practice? Yeah, I think it'd be pretty good. They'd be pushing one another. Both pros, good football players. But again, it's got to be at the right price.
Here's the thing: when you always talk about a quarterback dropping back, you got to solve a quick puzzle defensively. There's always an answer. When you look at the draft and free agency comes first, then the draft. But in order to kind of figure out the puzzle, Jim, you have to look at the strengths of the draft. And if Ryan Pace understands that this is a draft that's heavy on defense, heavy at the tight end position, heavy at receiver and running back, but not so heavy in regards to quarterback and maybe offensive tackle, it kind of gives you an indication of where the Bears may be going in free agency, doesn't it?
Yeah, and what have we known? They've spent big into the past 2 years. You know, the first year was Pernell McPhee. We're very active last year in getting two linebackers. And so, yeah, do I think there could be a free agent quarterback in the mix? Yes, I do, whether it's via trade, whether they say he's available or not in Jimmy Garoppolo or a guy like Tyrod Taylor or Mike Glennon, who's a free agent that is out there. I think that definitely is in or could be in the plans for the Chicago Bears.
Tom, when you look at the quarterback position specifically, I think the Bears aren't just looking at quarterback via free agency. You have to have that 1-2 punch of the draft. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the young quarterback you end up picking this year is the future of the franchise. You got to earn it. You know what I mean?
Well,
and I think part of the problem is that sometimes, at least over the course of this millennium with the Bears, a young quarterback gets picked high, and it's as though that guy's anointed. And I think you have to allow that guy to earn the spot, unless you're talking about obviously a top three pick and everything changes at that point.
Well, that's a great point, Zach. You do have to have a guy that comes in here and earn it, whether you're a high pick or a middle rounder. And, you know, the thing about it is, I think the Bears, in terms of the draft evaluation of the college personnel, you have to have two mindsets. Are you looking for a guy that you need to come in here and play immediately? Or are you looking for a guy that you feel you're going to have the luxury of 1 or 2 years to have him go through practice, be that third-team quarterback, and come in here and really learn the system, learn the NFL way of life? And I do think that it helps the evaluation process as to exactly what you're looking at, because there's a lot more pressure on the scouting staff and on the general manager when you're picking a quarterback that has to come in and be a starter right now. And I hate to keep referring to the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott, but I don't think they drafted Dak Prescott with the intentions of him being the starter this year. They felt that they had a Super Bowl quality quarterback in Tony Romo, and this young guy would be able to sit and learn his way through the NFL for a year or possibly 2 years. They didn't have that luxury. Injury to the quarterback and the young guy had to come in and play. So really, Zach, what are you trying to draft? An immediate starter or a guy that you have a feeling that your quarterback will allow this guy to grow up for a year or two before he has that type of starter pressure put on him?
I think we've spent so much time talking about the offense that you forget you can really take this defense to the next level via this draft. We'll find out how next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Vic's been in charge of the outside linebackers since we've been here. But, you know, there's still duties that he has to do that are time-consuming, that it helps when you have a younger coach.
That is the voice of Bears head coach John Fox talking about Vic Fangio, who has been assisting coaching the outside linebackers throughout his tenure as Bears defensive coordinator. But the Bears have a new outside linebackers coach with Clint Hurt leaving. They got a guy named Brandon Staley. Staley, what a perfect name to coach the Bears linebackers. So he's joined the squad. That's really one of the positions where, when you look at the Bears defense, guys, that's the one position where I think they're okay heading into this offseason, where you feel comfortable with the rotation of outside linebackers and inside backers that they have as well. Now, can you surround those guys with complementary talent?
Yeah, no, I agree with you, because you got guys 2 years in the system, well, other than Leonard Floyd, that kind of know the position. Even him being year one, he's got a good feel for what they're trying to do defensively. And it probably, I'm not saying it would have overtaxed Vic Fangio to coach both of them. Some coaches have done it, but I think ideally, you know, you want him to be looking at the overall picture rather than coaching, say, a specific position every day during practice in terms of the individual drills and all that. But I think you're right. With all the veteran leadership that they have, guys like McPhee, the veterans that are Willie Young, obviously Will Houston and the group that are there, you would think that those guys being pros should be just fine.
Yeah, you know, Jim, one thing about Vic Fangio, his responsibility is, and I'm sure he knows every single assignment of every single player of every defense he calls throughout the course of a season, and that's the responsibility a coordinator has. Coach Staley, Willie Young, Lamar Houston, Pernell McPhee, all of these guys have so many years of experience that a lot of coaching goes on with conversation between the players and the specific position coach. And I think every one of these guys should be able to help Leonard Floyd, because he's still an inexperienced player. And the more that he can learn, he can absorb from every one of these experienced football players is ultimately gonna help him. I think that we saw that Leonard Floyd understood the concept of the defense last season, but the technicians that you can learn from, that you can learn a little bit about how to play every different offensive tackle and every tight end throughout the league, that he's got to capitalize on the experience of the players around him.
Follow some of your favorite Bears personalities next week as they embark on an amazing Apple Vacations trip to Punta Cana, Dominican Republic. Over 100 Bears fans will join Jordan Howard, Cam Meredith, Eric Kush, and Patrick Scales at Rio Palace Bavaro for a week of sun and fun. And Tom, you didn't tell me about this. Jeff Joniak will be providing regular Twitter updates, as will the cast and crew of Inside the Bears. Be sure to catch us.
I didn't know he was going. I mean, Jeff's going to Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic?
Yeah, with over 100 Bears fans, Jordan Howard, Cam Meredith, Eric Kush, and Patrick Scales.
Oh
yeah, Joniak's going
to
be providing
that white, pasty body on the ocean.
Be sure to catch a special edition of Inside the Bears from the Dominican Republic on March 18th and 19th. You know what that means? Next week, guys, you got to have Jeff dial up the internet. I mean, you can do it now. You can get a phone line, a dedicated phone line down there at the resort, and have Jeff call in and join you guys on the show next week.
Do we really want to hear from him laying in the lap of luxury after a possible Mai Tai or two? I don't think so.
Well, then have him hand the phone over to Jordan Howard and Cam Meredith and Eric Kush. But getting back to the defense real quick here at the end of the show, I think it's important to note that, you know, with the way offenses go about trying to trick defenses now, and I heard Tom Brady had a wonderful piece with Peter King right after the Super Bowl where he talked about how the advantage goes to the offense because they do a great job now of being able to prevent defenses from being able to substitute. So, Jim, if you're Vic Fangio, don't you have to tweak the secondary around and get players that are versatile enough where if an offense doesn't allow you to substitute, you don't fall trapped to the mismatches that occur?
Yeah, you want hybrid guys, and I bring it up all the time. Think about if you're in base defense, regular 4-3, say Ron Rivera down there for the Carolina Panthers. They've got the three athletic linebackers, but yet they drafted Shaq Thompson. He can basically be a nickel hybrid safety. So if he's got to walk out on the slot receiver, they feel good. They can stay in base on first, second, or third down with a guy like Shaq Thompson, excuse me. I think I said Lawson, but Shaq Thompson, who they drafted out of Washington,
right,
who's basically a nickel linebacker. And so I think that's what you want. You want that type of versatility. Because here's what you're doing on offense. If you line up how you're going to line up, you can't be right, because I'll check to the plate to get us in the right play to take advantage of what you show me.
And I think there are those types of players available throughout this draft. And I have a feeling with the decorated defensive minds that the Bears have at Hallis Hall. I mean, think about it. We're talking about guys like Vic Fangio and John Fox and Ed Donatell.
They're good coaches.
Use those decorated defensive minds to take advantage of what's available in this draft. And that's why we're so fixated on the quarterback position. I understand why, but there's a way to dramatically improve the other side of the ball.
It can be a devastating defense. I like the Bears front seven. Now get the back end of the secondary, the flexibility you're talking about.
For Jim Miller and 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Sedman. Tune in next week. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe we will have Jeff Joniak coming on live from the Dominican Republic. And I'll tell you this. It's the start of free agency and the new league year begins, so there's going to be a lot to discuss on Bears All Access next week. For those guys, I'm Zach Sedman saying thanks for listening. Bears All Access brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.